بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، one of the things that the scholars in the past used to ask from their followers is to do a certain thing if they want to be their followers, to be with them, to maintain a certain quality. What is that quality, Hanif? To be truthful. Why is that?
They want to make it simple, and what truthfulness brings is that if anybody wants to do anything wrong or has done anything wrong, they be humble and they speak the truth, they'll keep remembering that they have to say these things and avoid doing them bad things.
Okay. There is a hadith which tells us about the value of truth and what is its benefit. Anybody remember this hadith?
No. The Sahabi, the man who asked the Sahaba, he was a simple Arab, and said, "What do I need to do to get in Jannah?" And he said, "To guarantee me this, to approach."
If you. Okay.
I don't know if it's one Sahabi or if it's just a hadith that the Sahaba could be.
Yeah, it's true, but that's not what I meant in my question.
Not the exact words, but the topic basically was that when a person who is speaking the truth will keep speaking the truth until it's recorded in the book of recording that he is the truth, that person who lies will keep lying until it's recorded that he's lying.
Right. Yeah, this is the one I meant. The hadith says, الصدق يهدي إلى البر. Truthfulness guides to righteousness, and righteousness guides to Jannah. And a man would continue to say the truth and do his best to strive for it until he is recorded with Allah as a Siddiq, as a most truthful. So that means that if a person's habit is to say the truth, then it will be like a natural outcome that he'll become righteous, and of course righteousness leads to Jannah. Okay. What is the sunnah? What's the main feature that distinguishes between a believer and a munafiq, a hypocrite?
From outside, both claim they are Muslim, but in their hearts, they don't believe what they say.
Okay, so are they truthful or lying?
They are not.
Okay, so truthfulness is what distinguishes between the two, who is truthful and who is lying. And munafiq, he says, "I am a Muslim," but he's Kafir at heart. He claims he's Muslim, right, Omar? Good. And mashallah, he's following. And a believer, a true believer, a Muslim, a true Muslim, he says, "I am Muslim," and he is Muslim at heart. He's not lying, he's saying the truth. Okay, we discussed the ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says that He sent down the book and the scales so that people establish justice, and He sent down iron. Now, what is the difference in the sending down, or the sending the book and the iron? Is there a similarity? Because Allah uses the same word in the Quran, أَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمْ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيثِ. Is there some difference between this sending and this sending, Ziyad?
The book is the one who guides.
Okay.
The iron is the one who gets victory with.
Yeah, but my question is, this inzal and that inzal, what's the difference between them? There are two kinds of sending.
The word of Allah is the word of Allah. The iron is also was brought down, but it's not in the same fashion. It was brought down differently, like it is from the earth.
From where the iron?
From the earth.
From the earth. So Allah Azza wa Jal put the iron in the on earth, in the mountains, underground, wherever it is, and the book is sent down with the angel to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so it doesn't have to be the same kind of inzal or revelation. It doesn't mean revelation in both cases. Yeah.
As far as sending down, isn't the word clear? Send down for iron also. If it's already the earth, there are physicists that recognize that through the meteorites. And
did you bother all of them?
Yep.
Good.
Not all of them. Not
good. Okay, as much as possible.
They recognize that through the meteorites or comets, that iron has arrived from above.
Are you asking a question or telling?
Commenting.
Okay, it's now my turn to give question, to ask questions. So,
you said it is also within the book.
Okay.
Your book.
Your book. Okay, so that you can answer the questions, huh? Okay, the word anzala in the Arabic language or in Quran is used most very frequently to mean revealed, sent down with the messengers. But not always, as you see in this example. Allah sent down the book and He sent down the mizan. The mizan is the scale, which means the criterion by which people can distinguish between what's right and what's wrong, which is also part of the revelation. And then He sent the iron, but the iron is sent in a different way. It is sent down because it is from above, because Allah is high above everything. So anything that He gives to us, it is sent down, and zilna, brought down. Okay. Write your name. Sorry, I forgot it again. What's the name? Mus'ab?
Muslim.
Muslim? What's the last name?
Saeed.
Muslim Saeed. A happy Muslim. That's okay. We continue with our discussion, inshallah, of this subject, deeds of the heart, from Tuhfa al-Iraqiyya by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and we stopped at the place where he was discussing the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah in which Allah says لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وآت المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون. Which means righteousness is not to turn your faces toward the east or the west, but righteousness is to believe in Allah and the last day and the angels and the books and the messengers or the prophets he uses, and also to give the wealth in spite of loving it to the relatives, the orphans, the poor people, the wayfarers, the asking, those who ask for it, the beggars, or those who need it, who ask for it, fil riqab, to free the slaves, and those who establish, see, there are different groups. First he mentions the items of iman, and then giving in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, different forms of giving, and then he mentions here two of the ibadat, wa aqama as-salata wa ata az-zakah, and those who establish the prayers and give the zakah. And then he mentions other things, al-mufuna bi'ahdihim, those who fulfill their covenants when they give covenants, idha ahadu, wal-mufuna bi'ahdihim idha ahadu, was-sabirina fil ba'sa'i wad-dharra'i wa hina al-ba's. Finally he mentions sabr, because usually sabr encompasses or is needed for everything, for the for all acts of worship, all commands, and especially he mentions it in the case of fighting in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Hina al-ba's, hina al-ba's means when at the time of hardship, especially al-ba's means when people are fighting their enemy, when the Muslims are fighting the enemy. Hina al-ba's. Fil ba'sa means in in poverty or in situation of hardship, and darra if they are harmed by things, disasters and so on. So they exercise or display patience and acceptance to what Allah has is testing them with. And then hina al-bas, at the time of standing in front of the enemy, they do not run away but they are steadfast in the fight. So this, after he mentions all of these qualities, then he says أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا, those are the ones who are truthful. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ, and those are the righteous, the ones who are righteous. Now you see from this ayah is that he starts by describing the qualities of righteousness, birr. He says birr is not only to turn your face to the east or west, wherever, you know, to for prayer. This is not what distinguishes whether a person is pious or not, but righteousness is more than that. It is, and then he tells us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, about some of the important features that show that a person is pious or righteous, sorry. And then after mentioning all of these, he said those are the truthful ones. So he linked righteousness to truth, and or to truthfulness, and also وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ التَّقْوَىٰ, he said, and those are the ones who have piety, who have taqwa. Now if you refer to Risala Tabukiya by Ibn Qayyim, which we have translated as The Magnificent Journey, you find that he has some explanation of this specific ayah, and he shows how he brings it to show how birr and taqwa, righteousness and piety, are interrelated, and that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla in the beginning says birr is such the following, and at the end he says this is taqwa. So they are very related, very interrelated. Now here he says, in addition, he says those are the truthful ones. So he says, Ibn Taymiyyah is saying, وَكَذَلِكَ وَصْفُ الصَّادِقِينَ فِي دَعْوَى الْبِرِّ الَّذِي هُوَ جِمَاعُ الدِّينِ. He says this is also the description of the truthful ones in the claim of righteousness, which is the thing that encompasses the whole of deen. All of the deen, because as you saw, he enlisted, subhanahu wa ta'ala, basically everything in the deen in this ayah. I remember in this for this ayah, subhanAllah, once I was I was new in this country, and I was reading about these Unitarian Christians, and I wanted to see what they are like. So I looked up in the phone book and I found an Unitarian church. I called and eventually I reached the priest or the man in charge. You know, I called him and I told him I'd like to go and sit in one of your service, and he said, yeah, you're welcome, of course. So he picked me up. Actually, I didn't have a car at that time, so I went and you know, during his sermon, one of the things he did is he had a copy of Yusuf Ali's translation of the Quran, and he actually opened it to this ayah and he read it, and then at the end he said, this is from the book of Muslims, and who can reject, or who can say that he does not accept any of these things? So you know, this includes really all the acts of righteousness, including the two items of belief and so on. But you know, there is no time now for us to discuss it, but he was contradictory later on in what things that he said that show that he himself does not believe in some of these things that he said. Who can but not accept all of this? So he himself was contradictory about it. Now, as for the munafiqun, or the hypocrites, فَوَصَفَهُمْ سُبْحَانَهُ بِالْكَذِبِ, Allah described them with lying, that they are liars. In many ayat of his book, such as his saying, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ, in their hearts there is a disease, so Allah adds to this sickness in their hearts, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ, and they have, or there is in store for them, a great punishment because of what they were lying. Now, as you see here, we mentioned this, actually we discussed it not too long ago, can check in the previous tape, about how Allah Azza wa Jal would increase those who are guided with guidance, give them more guidance, will reward them with more good things. And we brought the saying of Sa'id bin Jubair, in which he said of the rewards of the good deed is another good deed that comes after it, and of the punishment of the sin is another sin that comes after it. So here we see the same meaning, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا, there is a disease in their hearts, they initiated something bad, so Allah Azza wa Jal caused them to be even worse, زَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا, Allah increases them in their disease, in their deviation, and they have a great punishment, they will have a severe punishment or a painful punishment because of their lying. So here Allah describes them as lying. Also he says, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ, when the munafiqun come to you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, they say, we testify that you are Allah's messenger. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ, Allah knows you are His messenger, so He doesn't need their testimony to prove it. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ, and Allah testifies that the munafiqeen are lying. وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ, السلام عليكم. And Allah is saying, فَعَقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا, so here the word again, Allah describes them with lying for the hypocrites, and He says, فَعَقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ بِمَا أَخْلَفُ اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ, which means Allah, عَقَبَ means He followed that up for them, which means it's like a result. Allah made it, caused it to result because of their actions. The result was that a nifaq, a hypocrisy, came up or started in their hearts until the day that they meet Him. بِمَا أَخْلَفُ اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوا, because of their breaking their promises with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of their lying. وَيُمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ, because of their lying. وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ كَثِيرًا, and similar to this is in plenty in the Quran. Then he says, ومما ينبغي أن يعرف أن الصدق والتصديق يكون في الأقوال وفي الأعمال, what must be known is that truthfulness, and to accept the truth, that also tasdiq yakunu fil aqwali wa fil a'mal, takes place both in words and in actions, which means, you know, it's not only you say truth with your words, you also can say truth with your actions. One should be truthful both in his words and in his behavior. كقول النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في الحديث الصحيح, like the Prophet saying صلى الله عليه وسلم in the authentic hadith, كتب على ابن آدم حظه من الزنا. السلام ورحمة الله. SubhanAllah, and he brings some ahadith that you don't think that they are related to the discussion, but then you see how very related they are. It is written upon the human being his portion of zina, his allotted portion of zina. فَهُوَ مُدْرِكُ ذَلِكَ لَا مِحَالَ, and he will attain that no matter what, which means he will do it no matter what happened, no matter what he tried, he will commit the amount of zina that has been recorded that he will do it. فَالْعَيْنَانِ تَزْنِيَانِ وَزِنَاهُمَ النَّظَرِ, so the eyes commit zina, and the zina of the eyes is looking at prohibited things that they are not supposed to look at. وَالْأُذُنَانِ تَزْنِيَانِ وَزِنَاهُمَ السَّمَعِ, the ears also commit zina, and the zina of the ears is through hearing. So, وَالْيَدَانِ تَزْنِيَانِ وَزِنَاهُمَ الْبَطْشِ, and the hands commit zina, their zina is by action, by force or by action. Now some people may say, how could the ears commit zina? How could it, you know, is their desire associated with the ears? And the answer is yes, of course. And, you know, a very interesting proof in this regard is that one of the famous poets, and to some specialists of the Arabic language, they say he was probably the strongest poet ever, Bashar bin Burd, he says, Ya Qawmi, he was blind, and he heard, a woman saying some things, or maybe singing or whatever, and he fell in love with her, even though he was blind. At least that's what he said in this poem. He said, Ya Qawmi, أو يا قوم يا قوم أذني لبعض الحي عاشقة والأذن تعشق قبل العين أحيانا. He said, O people, my ear is in love with a woman from this district or from this locality, a certain woman, and the ear sometimes falls in love because before the eye, he said. so it's true that, and you know, with the spread of singing, I mean, not only in our time, previous times, from their times, that the singing and women singing and beautifying their voice, and especially with that associated with musical instruments and saying songs of love and etc., that also moves the desire and makes, you know, sends the signals to the brain to start thinking and implementing that with other ways, as you'll hear in the rest of the hadith. So he says that the eyes commit zina, and the zina of the eyes is looking, through looking. The ears commit zina, and their zina is through hearing. The hands commit zina, and their zina is through acting. And in one of the reports of this hadith, it says, وَزِنَاهُمَ اللَّمْسِ, touching. The hands touch. So even sometimes, you know, by mere shaking hands, which we say is haram, and some people, weak-hearted people, do not want to confess this, but it is haram, definitely. You find that a person shakes the hand, a man shakes the hand of a woman, and he says, MashaAllah, I mean, this is a soft hand, and so on, and he starts, you know, or she maybe will think similarly, or he has a strong hand, and so on. So definitely touching, starting by shaking the hands, or other forms of touching, it's all one step into zina, one form of zina, even though it's not the complete zina, that you know, that is one of the major sins in Islam. وَالرِّجْلَانِ تَزْنِيَانِ وَزِنَاهُمَا الْمَشِي. And the feet commit zina, their zina is walking, because they go to the place where the sin is to be committed. وَالْقَلْبُ يَتَمَنَّى وَيَشْتَهِي. And the heart wishes, has desires. So when all these things, all these channels, as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, when all these channels start, you know, or the desire enters through any of these channels, it reaches the heart, and the heart يَتَمَنَّى وَيَشْتَهِي. It holds, it has hopes, it has desires, it starts thinking about what has taken place. وَالْفَرْجُ يُصَدِّقُ ذَلِكَ أَوْ يُكَذِبُ. And then the private parts of the person confirm this or deny it. يُصَدِّقُ ذَلِكَ أَوْ يُكَذِبُ. So see, at the end of the hadith he brings the word يُصَدِّق, which means from صدق, truth. But this is a derivation, تصديق. تصديق means to confirm the truth of that. So the heart either confirms the truth of what has taken place through the other senses, or he rejects it, okay? Or he denies it, does not do it. So if a person does it, if he fulfills the complete zina, then he is doomed. By that, he has committed a major sin, and he deserves the punishment in this life as well as in the next life, unless he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, true repentance. So what he's saying is that he brought this hadith to show that a tasdeeq, confirming something, saying the truth, we said, or confirming the truth, is not necessarily done by words, but it could be done also by actions, as you heard in this hadith. And he says, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah continues by saying, وَيُقَالْ حَمَلُوا عَلَى الْعَدُوِّ حَمْلَةً صَادِقَةً إِذَا كَانَتْ إِرَادَتُهُمْ لِلْقِتَالِ ثَابِتَةً جَازِمَةً. It is said, this is an Arabic expression, that they attack the enemy in a truthful manner if their intention to fight was firm, which means that they are using the word truthful even though it is about action. So he's saying, and this is also in English, I believe, that also truth does not necessarily apply to words or sayings, but also to actions. And it is said, يُقَالُ فُلَانٌ صَادِقُ الْحُبِّ وَالْمَوَدَّةِ. It is said that such and such person is truthful in his love and emotions or sentiment, and so on. وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ. وَلِهَذَا يُرِيدُونَ بِالصَّادِقِ الصَّادِقُ فِي إِرَادَتِهِ وَقَصْدِهِ وَطَلَبِهِ. And because of this, he says, they mean, when they say that, the scholars, when they say it's truthful, they mean truthful in his intention. إرادته وقصده وطلبه. In his intention and in what he's seeking. وهو الصادق في عمله. And this is the one who is truthful in his actions. Also, ويريدون الصادق في خبره وكلامه. Also, sometimes they mean the one who is truthful in his words, in the information that he carries. والمنافق ضد المؤمن الصادق. ضد المؤمن الصادق. As for the hypocrite, of course, he is opposite to the believer, to the truthful believer. وهو الذي يكون كاذبا في خبره. He would be lying in his in the information that he carries. أو كاذبا في عمله. Or he would be lying in his actions. كالمرائي في عمله. Just like the one who shows off in his actions. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. The hypocrites, they deceive Allah, or they think they are deceiving Allah, but actually He is deceiving them. وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. Or He will be deceiving them. He will give them opposite to what they think they can get on the Day of Judgment. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. When they stand for prayer, they stand in a state of laziness, while they are lazy. يراؤون الناس, they show off to people. ولا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا, and they do not mention Allah, they do not remember Allah except very rarely. So he described them here by being يراؤون الناس, they show off to people, and showing off is lying by what? Action, lying by action, not by words. So they lie with their actions. And so this, all of this is about, you know, we are about done with this section. He next speaks about ikhlas, about sincerity. Because if you remember, he mentioned both truthfulness and sincerity, which are the reality of Islam. And in the last Allahu salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, which is from the book Al-A'mal Al-Qalbiyya by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Deeds of the Heart. And we were discussing, the last thing we were discussing was about truthfulness and sincerity. And we said, we discussed truthfulness for a while, and we said that truthfulness is important in Islam, as being sometimes even comparable or synonymous to Islam. So in some of the ayat and ahadith, when we talk about truthfulness, or when Allah mentions truthfulness or the truthful people, He mentions them in relation to discussing the Muslims or the qualities of Islam. As He says, as He said in the ayah, I'll just give one example from what we discussed before, which is the ayah about birr. He mentioned, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَنْ تُوَلُّ وُجَاءَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ, it is not righteousness to turn your faces to the east and west, but righteousness is to do this and this and this and this, which he mentioned, the qualities of Islam and Iman, and at the end he said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ, those are the ones who are truthful, and those are the ones who have taqwa. So he made truthfulness to be is synonymous of birr and taqwa, which are the things that cover all of Islam. And as for munafiqun, hypocrites, he described them with lying, as he says, وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ, Allah testifies that the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, are liars. So lying is a quality of nifaq, and as you know in the hadith, did we mention it last time? I don't know, but the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ says that the quality of the munafiq, the qualities of the munafiq, ayatul munafiqi thalath, or there are three signs for a munafiq, ayatul munafiqi thalath, idha haddatha kathab, when he speaks, he lies, idha haddatha kathab. وإذا وعد أخلف, and when he, huh? What are the others? Say it.
What's the last one?
MashaAllah. Where did you learn this? Oh, JazaAllah khair. Okay. You learned it from the school. Yeah. Yeah, there's one more quality. You are right. In some of the reports it asks that, but not in all of them. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ, and when he speaks, he lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ, when he promises, he breaks his promises. وَإِذَا أَتُمِنَ خَانْ, when he is entrusted with something, he does not fulfill the trust. And in an additional report it says, وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرْ, when he is, check which. إِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرْ, which means when he is in argument or in dispute, he becomes fajr, he becomes very, he hurts others as much as he can. He becomes very, overbounds in his actions. آيات المنافقي ثلاث. The hadith of the Prophet, this hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, some people think of it to be you know, like an enough resource for them to label people. So if it says, they say, if I find in a certain person these qualities, then therefore he is a munafiq. And you know, there are actually some other reports of the hadith in which it says, whoever has any of these qualities, كانت فيه خصلة من نفاق أو خصلة من نفاق, he would have one of the qualities of hypocrisy. Whoever has all of these qualities, he would be a complete munafiq, munafiqan khalisan. Now, based on this, some people, and we have seen many people who say that therefore if somebody, if we can prove that he has done this, therefore he broke his promise, he lied, he did not fulfill the trust, he was very bad in dealing with others when there was a dispute with them, therefore he is definitely a munafiq, and they go around with people telling them that he's a munafiq. This is not right, because the nifaq or hypocrisy is an action of the heart, or a belief in the heart. And nifaq means kafir. When you say about somebody he's munafiq, it means he's kafir. It means he's not a Muslim. And this is something that only Allah knows. People do not know about that. It is only Allah who knows whether a person is a kafir or a Muslim. And similarly for munafiq, what it means, the hadith, what it means is that whoever demonstrates any of these qualities, he is demonstrating a quality of nifaq, of hypocrisy. So like when a Muslim commits a sin, he is making an action of kufr. Any sin is an action of kufr, because it means that he is disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, or he is supposed to obey him. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ says, لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن. The zani, when he commits zina, he does not commit it when he is a believer. ولا يسرق حين يسرق وهو مؤمن. And when he steals, he is not a believer at the time when he is stealing, and so on. So does it mean that he is? We can say that when we see somebody making stealing, that he is a kafir? No, we cannot say that. But we say that he, by his stealing, he has done an action contrary to iman, an action of kufr. Similarly, when we see a person lying or breaking promises, or being very hard in dealing with when he is in argument or disagreement with others, then we say that he is demonstrating qualities of hypocrisy. But we cannot say that he is a hypocrite, because this is only a knowledge which is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Do the hypocrites know that they are hypocrites?
Do the hypocrites know that they are hypocrites? They know, no? Normally they know, like a kafir knows he is a kafir, because a hypocrite is one who is showing something contrary to what he is hiding. So he is showing, and of course, I mean, in the Arabic meaning of nifaq, nifaq means anybody who shows something contrary to what he is hiding. Like he tells you something, but he actually is hiding something else in his heart. But the Shari'i meaning of nifaq, of hypocrisy, it means the person who is claiming Islam, but he is a kafir at heart. So this is really something very terrible. And anybody who is like that, of course he knows himself. He knows, I am not a believer at heart, but I just want to show people that I am a believer so that people will listen to me and do as I like, and so on. So this is the nifaq. You can think of it also that the hadith is not talking about the nifaq in that sense, that it, the nifaq which takes a person out from the circle of Islam. Like when the Prophet ﷺ talks about some qualities which when a person does them, he is not a Muslim. He says, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرًا وَيُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرًا وَيَعْرِفْ لَعَلِيمِنَا لَيْسَ مِنَّا كَذَا لَيْسَ مِنَّا كَذَا. He is not one of us who does this, who does this, who does this, who does certain things. if he's not one of the Muslims, then what he is? He's a kafir. But it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean exactly that. It means that his action makes him not of us, which means this is not one of our actions. Similarly, the one who does these things, he is doing all the actions of munafiqeen. And if he does all of them, then he is doing the action of a total munafiq. But it doesn't mean that we can label him as a total munafiq. This is not in our hands. It's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, after this, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, after discussing the truthfulness, he comes to ikhlas, sincerity. Because he was saying earlier that الصدق والإخلاص هما في الحقيقة تحقيق الإيمان والإسلام. Truthfulness and sincerity are in reality the demonstration or the realization of Iman and Islam. And he discussed truthfulness, and now he's discussing sincerity, إخلاص. He showed that truthfulness is the realization of Iman, and now he wants to show that Ikhlas, sincerity, is the realization of Islam. So he says, أما الإخلاص لله فهو حقيقة الإسلام إذ الإسلام هو الاستسلام لله لا لغيره. Ikhlas, sincerity, being sincere to Allah, is the reality of Islam, because Islam is to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to anyone else. Is to surrender yourself to Allah and not to anyone else, which means to be totally sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. Good. Yes, yeah, good. Jazakallah khair. That's okay. Just a minute. Oh, you need it also for these, otherwise we broke these. أما الإخلاص لله فهو حقيقة الإسلام إذ الإسلام هو الاستسلام لله لا لغيره كما قال تعالى as Allah عز وجل said ضرب الله مثلا رجلا فيه شركاء متشاكسون ورجلا سلما لرجل هل يستويان مثلا الحمد لله بل أكثرهم لا يعلمون. Which means Allah gave the example of a man who is he gave the example of a man who is owned by several unagreeing or disagreeing partners, and another man who is pure for one man, which means he is owned by only one man. Or you can think of it like a man who has 10 bosses and a man who has only one boss. So the man who has 10 bosses and they are in disagreement, discord. One of them says, I want you to do this. The other says, no, don't do this, I want you to do that. And the third say, don't listen to either of them, listen to me, I want you to do this. And the third say something else. So how do you imagine this person? He'll be totally confused. He doesn't know what to do. He'll be, he'll be lost. And it could soon if he can. But for the other one, if a man has only one boss and he tells you do this and he'll do it. He tells you do this, he does it. Because he knows exactly what he's supposed to do. So he's more in peace of mind. Whereas the other he is in confusion. So Allah Azza wa Jalla compared these two people. One of them is in confusion and the other is in peace of mind. هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَانِ مَثَلًا Can they be equal? Equal examples? Alhamdulillah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Alhamdulillah praises himself because he showed his people that the importance of being sincere to him alone instead of being sincere to many other bosses, because that makes them remove the confusion from their hearts. بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Indeed, most of them do not know this, the importance of this peace of mind, of this feeling of tranquility. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَسْلِمْ لِلَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَكْبَرَ. And anyone who does not surrender himself to Allah is mustakbir, is arrogant. وَمَنْ اسْتَسْلَمَ لِلَّهِ وَلِغَيْرِهِ فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ. So if a person does not want to surrender himself to Allah Azza wa Jal, to submit, to obey Him, he is an arrogant person. And if a person surrenders himself to Allah and to others as well, he is mushrik. He's taking different many buses instead of one bus, right? وَكُلُّ مِنَ الْكِبْرِ وَالشِّرْكِ ضِدُّ الْإِسْلَامِ. Both of these qualities, whether it is kibr, arrogance, to be arrogant before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be mushrik, both of them are qualities which are contrary to Islam or contradictory to Islam. والإسلام ضد الشرك والكبر ويستعمل لازما ومتعديا, which means Islam is used as a passive, or what is the other word in English, passive or transitive verb. Islam, like you say, إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين. When his Lord told him, this is about Ibrahim, when his Lord told him, Aslim, which means surrender yourself, and here it is lazim. He didn't, it doesn't say to whom, but it is understood, of course, it is implicitly understood. He told him, surrender. قال أسلمت لرب العالمين. He said, I surrender to whom? To رب العالمين, to the Lord of the people. Ibrahim said this. وقال تعالى بلى من أسلم وجهه لله وهو محسن. Yes, indeed, the one who submits or surrenders his face to Allah وهو محسن, while he is doing good deeds, a doer of good deeds, فله أجره عند ربه, he gains his reward from his Lord. ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون, and there is no fear for them, they will not be unhappy on the day of judgment. وأمثال ذلك في القرآن كثير, and there are many other examples like this in the Quran. ولهذا كان رأس الإسلام شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله, and because of that Islam means to surrender totally to Allah Azza wa Jal, to submit yourself to Allah. Because of this, he's saying, كَانَ رَأْسُ الْإِسْلَامِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. It is the peak of Islam is the shahada, لا إله إلا الله, the head of Islam. وَهِيَ مُتَضَمِّنَةٌ عِبَادَةَ اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ وَتَرْكَ عِبَادَةِ مَا سِوَاهِ. Because it includes, it means, among other things, that one should worship Allah alone and stay away from worshipping anyone else, which means to be totally sincere, pure for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ الْإِسْلَامُ الْعَامُ, and this is general Islam. الَّذِي لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ دِينًا سِوَاهُ. He made distinction between Islam al-Aam and Islam al-Khas. Because Islam, when we talk about Islam now, we talk about a special Islam, which is the Islam that includes the Shahada and the four other pillars of Islam, plus the other obligations that came with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But other prophets came with Islam, which was not exactly the same, because the obligations and other previous prophets was not the same as with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there was something common, which is that we should all submit ourselves totally to Allah Azza wa Jal and not take any partners with Him. And this is what he's calling it, al-general Islam. Islam which applied to all peoples through the ages. And this is al-Islam al-Aam, الَّذِي لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ دِينًا سِوَاهُ, which Allah does not accept from the first and last people any religion other than this. This is the only religion accepted by Allah from the people. As Allah said, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. Whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him, and he is on the day hereafter, on the day after, he is among the losers. And it's Allah Azza wa Jalla says also, شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو الملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. Which means the religion with Allah is Islam. The only acceptable religion by Allah is Islam. وهذا الذي ذكرناه مما يبين أن أصل الدين في الحقيقة هو الأمور الباطنة من العلوم والأعمال وأن الأعمال الظاهرة لا تنفع بدونها. Says what we mentioned, this that we mentioned indicates that the origin or the basis, the foundation for the deen is in reality these hidden or deeds, the deeds of the heart, that is من العلوم والأعمال, of the knowledge and actions, the actions of the heart. وأن الأعمال الظاهرة لا تنفع بدونها, and that the apparent actions are of no benefit without them, which means without the deeds that pertain to the heart. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الذي رواه أحمد في مسنده, الإسلام علانية والإيمان في القلب. الإسلام علانية والإيمان في القلب. Let's go get صحيح الجمع. Let me check. I wanted to check the authenticity of this hadith. صحيح الجمع. Both volumes are over there by the computer. So he said, الإسلام علانية والإيمان في القلب. Islam is open and Iman is in the heart. Because of this, the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, which is muttafaqun alayhi, that is, it is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim, from Nu'man bin Bashir, that the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, al-Imanu, الإسلام علانية والإيمان في القلب. I don't know, it's not in صحيح الجامع, but we have to look it up. I'm not sure about it. But what it is saying is that الإسلام علانية والإيمان في القلب. Islam is open and Iman is in the heart. The meaning is correct if we understand by Islam and Iman what is mentioned or indicated in the ayah of Surah Al-Hujurat, in which Allah Azza wa Jal says, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ أَمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. The Arab, the Bedouins said, we believe. Say, you do not believe, but say, we embrace Islam. And then Islam, Iman has not entered your hearts yet. So with that sense, this hadith is correct in meaning at least. And it remains to verify that it is authentic. So inshallah, that's something that I'll try to work on. Alaniya, which means open to people to know, to see. So it is apparent. Islam is apparent and Iman is in the heart. The hadith of Nu'man bin Bashir in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-halal ubayyin wal-haram ubayyin. Halal is clear, clearly cut, clear, well known. Wal-haram ubayyin, and haram is also clear. وَبَيْنَ ذَلِكَ أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And in between that, there are matters which are vague, unclear, confusing. لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس. Many people do not know them, cannot distinguish in these matters. فمن اتقى الشبهات فقد استبرأ لعرضه ودينه. Whoever avoids the doubtful matters has taken care of, has purified his deen and his ard, his deen and his honor. وقع في الشبهات وقع في الحرام. And whoever falls into doubtful matters has fallen into haram. يعني which means he will eventually fall into haram things. He starts with doubtful matters, and gradually, since he is not careful to stay away from the doubtful matter, he finds himself drifting into the haram side. كالراع يرعى الحما يرعى حول الحما يشك أن يقع فيه. Like a shepherd who is tending his sheep close to the protected land of a king or somebody who has his own no trespassing place, يوشك أن يقع فيه, which means he will at some point get into the Hima, the not trespassing side. Why? Because he can't always control his sheep, and at one point if he's coming too close, they'll get in and eat from that prohibited side. أَلَا وَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ مَلِكٍ حِمَى. And indeed, for every king, there is a hima. There are lands which are secured for him, no trespassing except for him. أَلَا وَإِنَّ حِمَى اللَّهِ مَحَارِمُهُ. And as for the hima of Allah, who is the King of Kings, what is it? It is his maharim, the prohibited thing. That is the thing which nobody is supposed to trespass or to approach. أَلَا وَإِنَّ حِمَى اللَّهِ مَحَارِمُهُ. ألا وإن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح لها سائر الجسد. There is in the body a piece of flesh which, if it is good, the whole body will be good. إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله. And if it goes bad, the whole body will be bad. ألا وهي القلب. It is indeed the heart. So he's telling about, you know, from this whole hadith, he meant the last part of it, which saying that the heart is the thing which affects all the actions of the body. It is something hidden, it is something invisible, but it is what is in it, what actions take place in it, reflect on all the actions that are apparent to people and visible to them. وعن أبي هريرة قال القلب ملك والأعضاء جنوده فإذا طاب الملك طاب جنوده وإذا خبث الملك خبث جنوده. Abu Huraira said, the heart is a king, is like a king, and the organs, the person's organs and limbs, are its soldiers. So if the king is good, the soldiers are good. If the king is evil, the soldiers are evil, which means they are bad, they'll do bad things. وهذه الأعمال الباطنة كمحبة الله والإخلاص له والتوكل عليه والرضا عنه ونحو ذلك كلها مأمور بها في حق الخاصة والعامة لا يكون تركها محمودا في حال أحد وإن ارتقى مقامه. Okay, now that he mentioned in general the importance of the hidden deeds, the deeds of the heart that nobody can know except the person himself and Allah Azza wa Jalla, his creator, then he says these deeds, hidden deeds or internal deeds, the deeds of the heart, like loving Allah, like being sincere to Him, like relying on Him, tawakkul alayh, wa rida anhu, being pleased with Him and with what He does to us, and so on, all of these are obligatory. They are required from us. مَأْمُورٌ بِهَا فِي حَقِّ الْخَاصَّةِ وَالْعَامَّةِ. From the khasa, which are the khasa means the you know, the special people or the close people, which means the scholars and the better or higher than the average of common people. وَالْعَامَّةِ, and the common people. So whether the common people or the higher than the common people, everybody is required to do all of these deeds. لا يكون تركها محمودا في حال أحد. Leaving them or dropping them off cannot be praiseworthy or acceptable from anyone. وإن ارتقى مقامه, even if his position is high, even if he has a high position. Which means, you know, you cannot say, like what the Sufis say, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Some of the Sufis, to be more specific, they explained it that means worship your Lord until you reach yaqeen. Yaqeen means total belief and conviction. So once you get to that stage, then you do not have to worship anymore. This is not true, of course. And everyone from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam down is required to perform all these deeds. He is required to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be sincere to Him, to rely on Him in all actions, to be pleased with whatever he decrees for us, and so on, which are the deeds of the heart. These deeds of the heart are required from everyone, are an obligation of everyone, and no one is exempt from them. No one is exempt from them. He says, أَمَّا الْحُزْنُ فَلَمْ يَأْمُرِ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَلَا رَسُولِهِ وَلَا رَسُولُهُ بَلْ قَدْ نَهَى عَنْهُ فِي مَوَاضِعٍ وَإِنْ تَعَلَّقَ بِأَمْرِ الدِّينِ. As for sadness, it is not, even though, see, there are some actions of the heart that are permissible, others that are not. And he says, huzn, for example, sadness, even though it is an action of the heart, but it is not permissible, because Allah did not command us to do it, nor His Messenger. Rather, He has prohibited us from doing it in some situations. وَإِنْ تَعَلَّقَ بِأَمْرِ الدِّينِ, even if that has to do with the affairs of the deen. As Allah said, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Do not lose heart and do not become sad, and you are the highest if you are believers. So he's telling the believers after the battle of Uhud, when they lost, he told them, you are not allowed to be sad at heart. Okay, so sadness is not one of the deeds of the heart, the acceptable deeds of the heart. Okay? And he said, وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُ فِي ضَيْقٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. Do not be sad for their sake, that is, if they do not listen to you and accept your advice and Islam from you. وَلَا تَكُ فِي ضَيْقٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. And do not be in tight, do not let your heart be tight because of the plotting that they are making against you. And وَقَوْلِهِ إِذْ يَقُولِ صَاحِبِهِ.